Welcome to this message by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Bishop Edwin Ogo is a seasoned minister of the Word of God whose messages on Christian living, church building, and the work of the ministry are a great inspiration to ministers all over the world. He pastors the Makanere Cathedral in Oyibi, where he ministers powerfully in various services, transforming lives and raising zealous church workers. You will experience the transformational force and power of God's Word as he ministers passionately to you today. Be blessed as you listen.
Take up my cross, daily follow you. I'm not ashamed to shout my love for you, my Lord. Straight from my heart, I worship you. You are the reason for daily follow you. I'm not ashamed to shout my love for you, my Lord. Straight from my heart, I worship you. You are the reason for life. Cross daily follow you. I'm not ashamed to shout my love for you, my Lord. Straight from my heart, I worship you, and you are the reason for.
The slide that I live is waiting for your hand clap to be proper. I'm waiting for the hand clap to be proper. I'm waiting for the hand clap to be proper. I want to welcome you one more time to the His Presence service.
Oh, yes.
Here at the Living Bread Cathedral. Mm. And I can guarantee you that tonight God will visit you.
Come on. Oh, yes.
And tonight God will speak to you.
Yeah.
And tonight God will do a new work in your life.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I want everybody here to have an expectation. A particular expectation.
Come on.
And that expectation is an expectation that God will speak to you tonight the word you're about to hear.
Yes. Hallelujah.
You didn't hear me. I said expect that God will speak to you tonight through the word you're about to hear. So I want you to be alert. I want you to stay awake. I hope you have a notebook to take notes. Only the people on my right hand side take notes. Today I'll be watching because it shows your interest or otherwise in the word that the Lord is speaking to you. But tonight, you and I are privileged to have one of God's choicest servants. I said, you and I are privileged to have one of God's choicest servants.
Come on.
Somebody who is seasoned in the ministry.
Yes.
Somebody who has walked with God for a while.
Mm.
And most importantly, somebody who hears from God.
Oh, yes.
And I'm confident that the word that you're about to hear tonight is exactly what God is saying to you tonight from His throne room of grace. If you are ready tonight, I want you to make some noise, clap your hands, join me, and let's welcome to this pulpit the Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Come on, make some noise tonight. Make some noise and welcome the Son of God in our midst. Make some noise tonight.
To be here.
Yes.
Have you noticed that our service is working?
It's working.
Have you noticed that you can come to church early? Have you noticed that all things are possible?
All things are possible.
Clap your hands for Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
Father, we thank you for tonight.
Oh, yes, Lord. Yes,
and
Lord.
We ask that you speak to us.
Oh, Jesus. Speak
minister
to us.
Light.
Minister light. Okay.
Light.
Yes.
Brightness.
Jesus.
Guidance.
Yes, Lord.
Revelation.
Oh, Jesus.
Take us out of darkness.
Mm. Yes.
Bring us to a place of beauty.
Amen.
Your presence is beautiful.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Your presence is nice.
Jesus.
Take us there.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You may please be seated. And I'm happy to continue today. We've had a very beautiful week, Art of Shepherding Week.
Top.
And I've seen those who are quiet because they can't say anything. I'm seeing all of them. Yeah. But it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Tonight I want to continue teaching you on the subject of waiting on the Lord. And it is very, very important for you as a Christian to develop a habit of waiting on the Lord. Every life has habits. Every bad life has habits. It takes habits to have any kind of life. You are a collection of habits you have developed over the years. Whatever you are, good, bad, beautiful, ugly, up, down, whatever you are. Can you look at yourself? Just look at yourself. Yeah. You are a collection of habits. Habits. You need to develop habits to be a weed smoker. You need to develop habits to be a fornicator. You need to develop habits to be betting. To bet, you must have a habit of looking for soccer matches, horse racing matches. I mean, your habits make you. You are a representation of your habits. The boy who topped his class in mathematics has habits. He topped because of habits. You still owe core maths after 3 years. Some of you have done 4 attempts. It's habits. If you change your habits today, you pass the exam. But how do you think we are having this service at this time on a Saturday evening? Habits. I mean, ask yourself, would you have been here at this time on Saturday evening 4 months ago? No. Yes. So I tell you that believe God to help you, trust Him to help you to develop habits, the right habits. You can be anything you want to be. Anything. You can be a drunkard. You can be a drunkard. You can be a mental patient. Habits will take you there. You can have a lot of money. Habits will take you there. You can be very anointed. I mean, the oil that will be in your ministry is not this yellow color. proper oil. From you can do anything. You can go to jail. You can go to jail because of habits. Just develop the right habits. You go to jail. So, one important habit I am recommending to you is the habit of waiting on God.
Waiting.
Make it a habit. It's the habit of spending time. Because we all have our regular lifestyles. We have a life. But learn to interrupt your life. Stop your life sometimes to spend time with God. If God is important to you, because the proof of respect is the investment of time.
Wow.
Yes. The proof that you respect something is the time you commit to it.
Wow.
If you don't respect something, you won't give it time. So as we go to school, as we work, as we are busy doing things, learn it. Learn. That is why I love that scripture in the Psalms, Psalm 27, verse 14. You know, there's a certain emphasis there you don't see anywhere. Psalm 27 and verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy hearts. Wait, I say. I mean, it's like the person is even shouting. Wait. He begins by speaking nicely. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. Then his mood changes. And he begins to shout. Wait. If he's away, he said, wait, la. And I will ask you to wait. There is nothing you are doing that you cannot stop to wait on God. Because that God you can't wait on can prove to you that he can stop you. Don't let him stop you. You yourself, there are some things you shouldn't let God do them. One of them is this. Don't let God stop you. You will be in a very pathetic situation. Learn to stop yourself. Don't let God stop you. It's like humility. Don't let God humble you. When God humbles you, it's called humiliation. Yes. Learn to humble yourself. All the instructions in the Bible, place the burden of humbling yourself on you. Don't pray, say, Father, humble me. Yes. He will humiliate you because it's your work. There are a few things in life God will never do for you. He only does what man cannot do.
Wow.
One thing you must learn to do yourself is to wait. Because if God steps in to force you to wait on him, the circumstances that will come up, that will leave you with no other option but to be with God, you wouldn't want to experience it. He puts people in jail to get their attention. He made rich men very poor to get their attention. Then later he made them very rich. Learn to wait on God yourself. Stop yourself. But if you feel that you are too busy, like you are above this business of waiting and wait, no, I'm not interested. Fine. He will help you. to wait on him. Because there is nowhere you can get the strength to be a Christian. To be a Christian, you need strength. To be a Christian, you need strength. Because to be a Christian means you are an enemy of Satan. If you say that you are born again, within that declaration is an affirmation that your enemy is Satan. And you cannot stand Satan. Even his representatives, not he himself, his agents, Psalm 18, verse 17. Psalm 18, verse 17. Anybody who finds it can help me to read it.
Psalm 18, verse 17.
Yes.
He delivered me from my strong enemy. This is King James. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me.
Too strong.
Can you please read it again?
Psalm 18, verse 17. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me.
Your enemy is strong. The person who has been assigned to destroy you is not a weak person. The person who has been assigned to make you a drunkard is very strong. Satan is not a weak person. But he himself, the Bible respects him. The word of God respects him as a lion. The kind of animal, the Bible doesn't say, oh, you are a lizard, you are an ant. No. It's like a roaring lion. And I don't know anywhere in the Bible you are described as a lion. So if your enemy is a roaring lion, the one who is bent on making you a prostitute is a roaring lion, then you must ask yourself where you are going to have the strength to face this lion. And that's why David said they were too strong. Yeah. Somebody has been assigned to make sure that your marriage ends in 2 years. He's been sent to ensure that exactly around 8 months from now, you should be in the mental hospital on a nice ward before you go into the cage in 2 years' time. There's nothing I'm saying that is an imagination. And that person who has been assigned to make you a mental patient, who has been assigned to disgrace you as a pastor, that person is not a weak person. I can't understand why a person even the Bible respects, you don't seem to have any respect for. The first time Satan is introduced in the Bible, he is introduced not as an accuser or as a killer. He is introduced as an intelligent person. The Bible, the first time we see Satan anywhere, there's a lot of feedback in the sound. If you can hear it, the first time Satan is introduced, he's introduced as an intelligent person. He will destroy you without knowing. He will take you on a path. You won't believe it. I've lived long enough to see people. I mean, in 1,000 years, I would never have imagined that they were capable of doing things that they themselves declared they would never ever do. I mean, it's just a matter of, in my lifetime, I've lived to see people eating things they vomited. You don't have any idea who the devil is. He can destroy you and make you feel that you are a great person. Like he's making you great. Meanwhile, he's finishing you. Learn today to make time for God. I will say again, God, in the charismatic life, charismatic world, there's nothing like respect or fear of God. The most lawless sect in Christianity is Asia, the charismatics, the shabalabababa. Nothing governs us. From pastors to bishops to church member to converts. There has never been a group of Christians who have been corporately and collectively, by their characterization. It's like not one or two. There have always been devils since God made man. You read the Bible, they are all there. Rebels and lawless people. But they were sprinklings. We've had Korah, Dathan, Abiram. These are all sprinklings. But the charismatic church is an official, lawless group of people who have come on the earth. Because they believe that they have the Holy Ghost. So they can behave anyhow. When our grandmothers, Methodists, and Catholics are going for church service mass at 6 a.m., the charismatic believer is waking up at 11 when his church is starting at 9 o'clock, and he will saunter in and sit at the back, throwing some offerings and just get away. I'm saying to you today, the proof that you respect God is not in worship. It's not in your prayer life. It's the investment of time. That's the proof that you respect something. Anybody who doesn't commit time to something or somebody or a cause does not regard it. Does not regard it. I respect the work I'm doing. That's why I give time to it. Learn to wait on God. And that's why he was shouting. He was speaking gently. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait! Wait. Even if this service ends at this time, it's good. I'm just telling you, go and wait on God. Prove to God that you respect him. Don't just walk about and do things without stopping. That's why I was sharing with you last week how to wait on God. The first way to wait on God is to stop. Whatever you are doing, have time for God by learning to stop. Pause all activities. Learn it early. Many of you are young. Some of us, it's over, but we can't be helped. Well, somebody says there's still hope, so let's believe it. But as for you, dear, learn it. Develop this habit. It will make you a certain type of person. Because we are a collection of our habits. We are the aggregation of our habits. Learn to stop as a student. Learn to say, I'm not going to school today. Because something can make you not go to school today. Learn to say, I'm not going to work today. Because something can make you not go to work today. Then number two. Locate or secure or identify a place, have a place to meet God. Because where you are is as important as who you are.
It's a big one.
Yes, where you are, where a tree is as important as what the tree is.
Wow.
Where you are determines what you see. Where you are determines what you hear. There can be something going on in this compound that we may never hear or know. Just because of where we are. It's not because we are good people or we are bad people. Where we are. Somebody may be killing someone around here, but we don't know. We are having our church service. We have just finished worshiping, and a pastor is speaking English, and he's speaking to her. Who is killing who? How? When? Why? We don't know. Are you aware somebody's dying here? No. But it can be going on. And it's just because of where you are. So where you are determines what you hear. God can be speaking. But where you are makes it difficult for you to hear God. God is always speaking. He's a talkative. He talks a lot. He has something to say about even your hair and your toenails. He has something to say about, read your Bible. You see him describing people's dress, what they are wearing, and giving them names that you look like a harlot because of what you are wearing. The Bible has time. God has time for everything. He is speaking to you about the use of your phone. He is speaking to you about the relationship between you and your friend, you and that girl, you and that boy. Never think there's any area of your life which is off limits. He's always talking. The Holy Ghost, his name is a teacher. That's his name. He's a speaker. You are the one not hearing him. You are the one not hearing him. The Spirit speaks expressly. Specific things about specific areas, about specific moments. But without his voice, what would we have done? You need to orientate yourself to see and to hear. Remember, where you are determines what you see and what you hear. So in Exodus 25:22, he said, and there I will meet with thee. Not here. I gave you here. I built this house for you. I gave you money to rent this house. There are a lot of things God does here. And there are some things also he will never do here. Yes. One of the places of your greatest blessings is a place called there. Anybody who doesn't make movements to places has cut himself off God's supply. I said there is a place. It's not called Toronto or Oyibi or Dodowa. It's called there. May you know that place. Some of you, all you have is here. God does not only relate with you here. He also relates with you there. Yes, he's here with us. He's here with us. Otherwise, then, what is the incentive for traveling all the way? If what I can get there, I can get here, then what is the incentive? So he has reserved some things that you will never see and have here till you go there. There must be an incentive. in him we move. That's how Hannah got her pregnancy. She moved to a place called Shiloh. Yes. That's how Elijah got bread to eat. He moved to a place called Cherith. You cannot spend all of your life here. You can't. You can't spend all of your life here. You must have a there, your big sister's house, your friend's house, some place. If you are here, Anakazo is there. Have a place where at least once a month or ever so often, you go there and you spend time with God. What does he want us to take with us? You see, when we go there, and the place called there, he said, there, I will commune with you. And I will give you commandments. It's a special place where he gives instructions. Yeah. And the voice of God comes through the word of God. So when you are going to wait on him, you carry with you the word of God in all the different forms and shades. The hearing word, the watching word, the reading, the Bible, the books. Carry as many things. That is why, if you're a serious Christian, even if it will take you 3 years, start it now. Start making savings that one day you will have a tablet. Yes, a tablet. Have a tablet that you but in the church now, I am banning tablets here. It's Bible. Hold your Bible. Ask your neighbor to show. So there's a pastor all the time. Before he preaches, you say, everybody raise your Bible. Yeah. This. The word is too strong. You come to church casually. Your attitude defines what is offered you. Your attitude defines what is offered you. Your attitude defines when you are called, when you are selected. If you approach God, you can't. The fact that you are coming to church, the presence of God, this is the house of God. You are coming to church. And your Bible is in your pocket. And you are just. You are going to wait on God. You are going to wait on God with this. It's his attitude. It will determine even access. If attitude determines access, attitude determines access. And that is the carelessness of today's charismatic Christian. He has nothing. He knows nothing. 90%, 95% of Christians sitting in churches know nothing about God. How can you say you are a Christian and you don't have messages you listen to? Footballers watch videos. Footballers, they watch videos. Please wake the girl up. She's not interested. Actually, you can ask her to leave the service. Yeah, wake her up. Wake her up and let her move away. Let her go leave the service now. Go and sit outside. The book of life has got names in it. The book of life, it has got names. Which means that not all names are in it. So by your behavior, we can tell that your name is in the book of life. Once you prove to us that your name is not in the book of life, we excuse you. Just go. Church is not for the world. Church is not online. Is anybody online watching me? Church that is not for the world. The name, even the name itself, the Greek is ecclesia. It's the called out ones. We have been selected. It's not for everybody. Don't force to bring everybody here. It will never be for everybody. It's for a selected, blessed few. And depending on the population, the few can be a lot of people. But there's no pastor, there's no anointing on earth that can reverse the trend that those on the good way are more than those on the broad way. It will always be that the masses headed for destruction are on the Broadway. There's no anointing on earth that can reverse this trend. Those headed for heaven will always be few. Don't force people who don't want to be around to be around. Don't force them. In any case, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father who sent me draws him to me." Oh, if you feel you don't want to be in the cell, please get up and go. This is not for you. You can get up now. You can get up now. We are not in need of what? The people who should be here, even when they are beaten and warned that they shouldn't come again, that's when they rather gather and pray. You didn't hear me? I said, those who should be here, even if they are beaten and warned, even when they are being tortured, read Fox's Book of Martyrs. They will tell you that, say that there's no God, say that there's no Jesus, and we will leave you. Say, I will never say there's no Jesus. If you are truly meant to be here, nothing will stop you from being here. If you are truly a Christian, oh, you can sit down. You're having just a gentle. You are closing now. If you want to walk with God, then have His word. You can never have a relationship with anybody without His voice or His words or her words. Words are the lifeline for any relationship. Once you dry up words, you have dried up the relationship. Silence is a terminator of important relationships. Never let God's voice be silenced in your life. And you shall hear a voice behind you saying to you, this is the way. It's always a voice. It's always a word. Isaiah 30 verse 21. You will hear a voice behind you saying to you, this is the way. Walk in it. Have it. There's nobody who is doing something important that he doesn't have equipment or tools or some paraphernalia for that. Anyone, thieves have got spanners and tools. Prostitutes have got panties and brassiers. Carpenters have got hammer. Soldiers have got their boots and guns. How is it possible you are a Christian? There's no Bible. There's no word of God. What are you doing? What are you doing? Politicians have got handkerchiefs. How is it that you are a Christian? you even the Bible says that no one should boast. Don't talk foolishly. But just in case you have to boast, you must boast that you know God. Yeah. Boast that you have four Bibles. Boast that you've read your Bible. I mean, no one should boast. I'm an engineer. I've got this money. This is my dollars. This is my wife. She's a nice girl. You don't have a wife. This is my no. No one should talk foolishly. But just in case you have been tempted or there's a difficulty and something, just in case you want to boast about something, then your boasting should be that you've got a podcast. You listen to messages. That you pray. You know God. Boast that you know God. Let your boast be in the Lord. That you spend 7 hours in prayer. Yes. Just in case. I mean, during the week in the conference, I became weak. And I couldn't resist boasting. But I didn't boast about my shoes or money. I boasted that I had preached 6 services last week. This is my 4th service this week. Weekend. I'm not talking about the conference. Already, I have 3 services waiting for me tomorrow. When will you boast that you have prayed? When will you boast that these 4 guys are my converts? When will you boast that singer, I trained her? When will you boast that shepherd, I remember when I went to his house to... There's a pastor in London. He's a reverend now. I went to his house. From London, I traveled far on a train to do follow up. When I went, all he could tell me was that he's going somewhere, he doesn't have time. I said, can I just get 2 minutes with you? He's a reverend now in London. I was just also on holidays, but I was working for God, and I had some 3 minutes to sit with him. And then I met him in church the following Sunday. Today he's a reverend in church. I can boast. And I'm saying, when will you boast that the 4 converts who were handed to you, you have been able to take care of all of them? I said, if you, however, let him who boasts. I want to suggest to you to boast that you have got messages that you listen to. Boast that you listened to a complete sermon last week. You have never done it before. For the first time, you listened to a 40-minute message and you were so blessed. Boast that you have got a collection of songs. I have 1 terabyte of music. Let's start boasting in the Lord. Don't boast that you've built 4 houses. That's how to go to the Lord. If you go to wait on him. Because there he's speaking to you. Now, before we end, let me just, please sit down. When you stand, I feel dizzy. It's just a little family meeting we're having. By the way, turn to your neighbor and tell the person, I'm so glad you came to church. Are you ready for the fellowship meetings tomorrow? Will you attend Bacenta meetings? As a person, are you going to attend your area fellowship meetings? And are you aware that there's a meeting for all leaders in the evening? That meeting. Oh, you are aware. Okay. I like your shirt. Revo. Oh, it's Revo. Okay. Yeah. If you boast that you are a Revo in the Lord. Now, what are the experiences? What are the experiences you will have when you wait on God? What are the experiences? Because of Exodus 25, 22, we say that the tabernacle represents the typical place a Christian meets God. Because it is there that he said, I will meet with you. Yeah. So we use the tabernacle. That's why you remember the first day I said, I taught you that even what was used to build it was acacia wood, shittim wood, which has many thorns. So to build a place to wait on God, you need sacrifices. You need pain. It will cost you something to wait on God. It will cost you extra salary. It will cost you a little extra money. It will cost you time. It will cost you comfort. So the tabernacle, I'm not by this saying that I want to take you on a journey to teach you about the tabernacle. But the things in the tabernacle, the Old Testament tabernacle, represent the things you experience when you wait on God. So, we are just going to list the things that are in the tabernacle. Because, see, it says, and there I will meet with thee. Where is that there? That was the tabernacle. That's where God meets us. So, when you go there, in the Old Testament, they left their houses and went to the tabernacle to meet God. In the New Testament, wherever we identify as our there must also represent the tabernacle. The experiences in the tabernacle are the experiences you get when you wait on God. Is my English difficult? In the Old Testament, they met God in the tabernacle. At least Moses met him in the tabernacle. He had instructions in the tabernacle. So in the New Testament also, where we meet God must be a spiritual tabernacle. And in the Old Testament, there were certain items in the tabernacle which we may not have physically, but we must have the spiritual experiences that each item in the tabernacle stood for. You can get a full list of the things in the tabernacle from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 9. I mean, we are right here in Exodus, but if we are going to look at all the items, you have to be jumping from verse 7 to 18, chapter 26, verse 13, you go to chapter 7, I mean, it's too much. But all the things are neatly packaged at a place in the Bible. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 4. Can I have the New King James or New American Standard? So we spare ourselves certain. Okay. So let's see verse 3. Behind the second veil, there was a tabernacle, which is called Holy of Holies. Now, in the Old Testament, this is the place they met God. So, what is in this place should be of interest to us. Yes, it should be of interest. I mean, what experiences did they have in the tabernacle? You will know it from the things that were there. So there was a tabernacle which is called the Holy of Holies. Verse 4. Having a golden altar of incense. We are now starting. Experiences while you wait on God. That's the topic. Experiences while I wait on God. while I wait on God. Having a golden altar of incense and the ark of the covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden jar holding the manna and Aaron's rod which budded, and the tables of the covenant. Verse 5. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seats. But of these things we cannot now speak in detail. And I really mean it, that I don't want to talk about these things in detail. I don't want to speak in detail. But suffice it to know that these things were there. So we can start quickly. Let's start. Verse 4. In the tabernacle, Hebrews 9, for read it, having a golden censer. Having a what? A golden censer. A golden altar, sorry, of incense. A golden altar of incense. So that's the first thing. I mean, according to this New Testament list. And that altar of incense represents, turn your Bible to Psalm 141. Psalm 141. Verse 2. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. And the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Let my prayer. So the altar of incense stood for prayer. Incense. He said, let my prayer. This is the English words. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. So the altar of incense, when you go to wait on God, one big experience is that you spend time in prayer. We don't wait on God by watching movies. Alcatraz 4, Terminator 3. We are looking at the things that were in the tabernacle to guide us. And the first thing, at least in this New Testament list, was the altar. I mean, I could show you diagrams and take you from the altar court. I'm just showing you the items there. And the first thing that was, there was an altar. There was an altar of incense. And what does it mean? I mean, what is it doing in the tabernacle? They burnt it. And David said, let my prayer, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense. And the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice, which was also a burning of things. So the lifting up of my hands can also stand for worship, or can also stand for the same prayer. The Bible says that men ought to pray lifting up holy hands. In our normal day-to-day life, if you don't stop to spend time with God, you will never have time to pray. Because the traffic at Adenta, it starts at 4:30 a.m. It starts from barren before it goes to Adenta. We have not even talked about the Amrahia confusion. If you are a Christian and you allow your life to be guided by just going, coming, work here, school, your normal life is your normal life. You will never know God. You will never be strong. Strength comes from waiting on God. They that, Isaiah 40, 31, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They that spend time with God shall renew their strength. And you need strength to be a Christian. It said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Why? Why should you be strong? Because your enemy is too strong for you. The urge to fornicate is too strong for Bible reading. Some of you, the urge, today as you are here, you are jittery. It's like somebody who has come off drugs. You are having the shakes. You can't wait to end the service and place your bets on tomorrow's matches. By all means, in tomorrow's match, I'm placing a bet that Kudus must score. He will score. Yes. Kudus must score. You see, what I have just said, it doesn't mean anything to you. Yeah. But the weak Christians is an idea. I've given you an idea. You are weak. You know you are weak. And it's not, you are weak not because you are a bad person. Like you are an evil person. You are weak because you don't spend time to wait on God. You don't have time. You don't respect God. Because I said the proof of respect is the investment of time. Nobody is a weak Christian because he's carnal or doesn't, it's like he's weak in his family. They can't serve God. No. It's just anybody who has time for God will be strong. Who has time for God will be strong. Don't let your relationship with God be governed by your day-to-day life. Interrupt it. Stop. And spend time with God. There is nothing you must do that will require your natural strength. Everything you will do coming to church will require God's strength. Giving an offering. Some of you, even the strength to pay tithes. And you have been helped greatly by madmen on social media who are saying that more New Testament Christians don't pay tithes. So, I mean, your greed has been stamped. Your greed has been stamped. But you should even ask yourself, I mean, why should a pastor devote so much time talking against just one tenth of a blessing? I mean, when nine over ten couldn't make you happy, what will one over ten? I mean, if let's say tithe was 5/10, or it's like 6/10, because in some certain levels of income, taxes can be 60%. You pay tax, a certain type of income. It's very wild. I don't even think I'm saying it well. Very high taxes. So the tithe could have been 60% of your income. Yes. 40%. then we are preaching against it. That keep the 40. Is the pastor, what is 10? 1 over 10. 1 over 10. I mean, if you have a proper soul in you for God, you should even say that you are doing 2 over 10. Common sense alone should tell you that if 9 over 10 equals not enough, therefore 1 over 10. But I'm just saying that you are weak. You are weak. We are in February. It's been January 1st that you were praying that you will break up with the ayah. You are still having sex with her. You remember? You remember when you had Chalak night? You were praying that this year you are in tears, that you are stopping this fornication. February already, she has missed her period. Some cannot even sit down. Look at them; they are going. They can't even sit in the service. And you see, they are not bad people, though. They are not bad people. Leave them to go. They are not bad people. It is the pastors who brought them here. They are the real weak ones are the pastors. When Jesus saw that the sheep were fainting, did he blame the sheep? He said there were no shepherds. I'm talking from Jesus' perspective. He didn't say that these guys don't have sense. There's food. Instead of them to eat and be strong, useless people, useless sheep. No. Wherever you see sheep are scattered and sheep are fainting, remember that the reason is not the people, it's the shepherds over them. Because it's not only sheep that faint. Shepherds also faint. When the shepherds don't wait on God, the weakness extends into the lives of the sheep. Because there are diseases of shepherds which are also diseases of sheep. Or diseases of sheep which are also diseases of shepherds. If a sheep can faint, it's possible that some pastors here have collapsed. And why will a pastor collapse? Why will a pastor collapse? Because he has not spent time with God. And it's because he doesn't respect God. So the altar of incense. Take me back to verse 4. The altar of incense. Having a golden altar of incense. And the ark of the covenant. So let's quickly talk about the ark. The ark was in the tabernacle. So the second experience, the ark of the covenant, covered on all sides with gold. Now, inside the ark, that little box, there were three things. Number one was a bowl. Plastic bowl or glass bowl, which contained manna. Now, that manna was like bread, but a different type of bread. Because you will learn later on that the tabernacle also had bread there. There was bread in the tabernacle. Yeah. There were loaves of bread in the tabernacle. But this manna in a little bowl represents the word of God. The word of God. In the Old Testament, it was the substance that God rained from heaven to feed them. And we in the New Testament, what we eat to be strong spiritually is the word of God. The Bible, manna. That is why when you are going to wait on God, you must have the word of God and any other variation of God's word. Whether it is preaching videos, or it is audio messages, or it is a book, or it is different Bibles. Your tabernacle experience is incomplete without manna. Ask your neighbor, do you have manna? And what was special about the manna was that. Maybe I should stop preaching. The people don't know. They're not interested. What was special about the manna? Can I say it or you're not interested? They're not interested. What was special about the manna was that you were not supposed to take big containers to collect the manna. You had to, you see, if you took a lot, by the following morning, it had turned into worms. So the manna that fell from heaven was supposed to be eaten daily. Daily. If you took a lot of it, it will even be useless. Enough for the day. Ladies and gentlemen, the word of God should be eaten on a daily basis for you as a Christian to be strong. Daily. Mommy, there is nothing in Christianity like I have read 7 chapters of Nahum for the next 3 weeks. There's not like banking. I'm banking. Today I have time. So I'm reading 10 chapters, 10 psalms against 2 weeks. No, it's not banking. No, look, no matter how many you read, how many chapters you read, all of it will be enough for today. Any extra by tomorrow, it is useless. Anybody who doesn't read the Bible every day, manna, every day, manna, you'll be weak. Enough for the day. So when you go to wait on God, you're once a while waiting on God. Your interaction with the manna will make you like daily eating when you finish. I'll take it again. When you wait on God once in a month or once in 2 months, and it's a special time. They were not there every day, otherwise their sponges will be there. So once in 3 months. But that experience, the 2-day experience you will have at Mampong, it should include a bowl of manna. And that is, when you go there, your experience will make you have love for the word of God every day. So after 3 months, when you realize that you are becoming disinterested, you go back to wait on God to have a manna experience. So, the prophet Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 15 verse 16, he said, thy words were found, and I did eat your words, and your words were unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. So when you don't wait on God, your daily Bible reading becomes a chore and a bore. Anybody who reads his Bible every day has some tabernacle moments. You will know yourself if you are here and the Bible is a boring book. The meaning is that you don't wait on God. So when Isaiah prophesied and said, "They that wait on God, on the Lord, shall renew their strength," he wasn't saying that when you go and wait on God, you become like a cyborg, like some ninja with energy for 17 days. No. When you go and wait on God, you get respect for the daily eating of the word of God for the rest of your life. So anybody who has lost appetite for daily Bible reading hasn't waited on God. So go and wait on God, because the tabernacle will have a bowl of manna which will let you respect manna. Never read the word of God. It doesn't last. In fact, even I will say that the word of God cannot last one day. That's why Joshua said, "Thou shalt meditate therein day and night." 12 hours. After 12 hours, it is spoilt. You read again for your next sermon. So you can imagine how weak you are that you've not read your Bible for 7 months. 7 months. Why will you not need a bus center leader to put you on a bus to bring you? You are like a paralyzed man. If we leave you, you can't move. But if Adriana Stars and Ebrekum Chelsea are playing football, you have energy to walk there. But you don't have energy to be in church because you are always watching football. And you are always betting. So your energy for that is sure. A day will come. Spend time and look at these things properly. But anyway, while we are in the ark, let me just talk about the other two things where we can close. I was going to leave it, but we are in the ark. So that next time then we look at the other things in the tabernacle. The next time I have to talk about the mercy seat that sat on the ark. That one is all for today. So let's just end. There were three things: the bowl with manna, and the second thing there, in which was a golden jar holding the manna, and Aaron's rod which budded. If you can sit down, I can just tell you a little story. The people of God who left Egypt were in the wilderness. Now, when the tabernacle was built in the wilderness, one of the things God did was to let Moses instruct them that the 12 tribes, every single tribe should have a rod. And that rod should be placed within the tabernacle. Every tribe. Now, when they gave that instruction, these priests, Aaron stood for the priesthood. You know, they had farmers, different people as astronomers, different people who knew the times, and they were fighters, different people. Now, among them were these priests called Aaron. Aaron and his people, they did not form a tribe. I don't know. It's something like Aaronic tribe. There were different tribes. But the Lord instructed that as the other tribes are placing their rods in the tabernacle, the priests should also. Now, these are dry sticks. It's like a rod. They have received some markings on them. So the priest should also put their rod there. So they all put their rods inside it. The next morning when they woke up, what is this? All the 12 rods were there. They were all lying there. Still dry. But the rod of Aaron had begun to bud. It's when you say something is budding. They do a little science. Like where the branches come from. Where the flowers, it shoots. So when they woke up, every stick, can I have some drumsticks? Do you have drumsticks or you use Bluetooth? It's okay. Everybody's rod was there. The boxer, everybody's rod was lying there. But one of them was now producing leaves. Leaves and buds. How? Now, that spectacle was so notable that God instructed that in the ark, the things that are in the ark, they should single out Aaron's rod. Wow. So when you go and wait on God, one experience you will have is the experience of Aaron's rod that budded. Okay. That budded. That it is the priest who waited on God.
Wow. Wow.
So in normal life, as the seamstress's rod is dry, she's busily sewing. The doctor is busily in his clinic. The carpenter is busily in his shop. The one who spends time with God and waits on him, his life becomes a very fruitful, burdened life. That which was not producing anything will begin to have life in it. Life enters you. Burden is representative of life. There's no life in this. It's dry. It's dry. But when it becomes Aaron's rod, it has so much life that it can turn into a snake and start swallowing other snakes in your life. Some of you, your background has got snakes that are eating your womb, eating your ring, eating your brain. But when you wait on God, this is the rod that became a snake and began to eat Pharaoh's rods. I don't know what family you come from, but my family, we have snakes. And they are eating our wombs, eating our testicles, eating our brains, eating our destinies, eating the glory. But you need to go to a place where that which was dry receives life. When you step out, you will notice that the architect's life is dry. The lawyer's life is dry. The carpenter's life is dry. You are also a carpenter, but there's life in you now. Why? Because you spent time. You waited. Your life bats. Your basenta bats. Your ministry bats. You see that there are dimensions of ministry. That's Aaron's rod right there. It was burdened. You see the rod lying by it is dry. May what is dry next to you never influence the state of your life. I declare that your life is burdened.
burden, no matter what is near you.
Amen.
1,000 shall fall at thy side,
prophesy.
And 10,000 at thy right side,
prophesy.
But it shall not come nigh thee.
Jesus.
Your neighbor may not have light in his house,
yes,
but there will be light in your house. Your neighbor may not have money in his pocket,
yes,
but there will be money in your pocket.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen,
prophesy.
There is a life.
Jesus. Hey.
There is a life. And it all comes when you respect God. When you don't respect God, he won't give you life. He has nothing for those. He said, those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me, I will lightly esteem. Most of your lives are dry sticks. Some of you online, your life is a dry stick. There's no life. Because you have no respect for God. I've told you already. You will pay. You will pay a high price. Romans 8 says, to be carnally minded is death. Yes. Anything you pay for, you'll get it. If you pay money for a bag, you'll get a bag. They may even give you a pencil extra. God is looking for people who have time for him. To let them bat. All of us are in the same Ghana. All of us are in the same Ghana. While you can feed your children, he is buying properties. We are both of you are accountants. You can't feed your family. He is buying properties. How? Because he has respect for God. How do we know he has respect for God? The proof of respect is the investment of time. Sir, your background should not be able to define your future. Allow God to come into your life. Allow him to come. All of us, where we come from, I told you, I was raised in mud houses. I was raised in villages. That village, today, if you are in Takoradi and I point to you, buildings, story, you won't even believe. But 50 years ago, it was a village. No electricity. We use lanterns. That's where I was also raised. So you're not the only one from a village. We are all villagers. Yes. But when you allow God to take over your life, the sense that is in you leaves you. I want to beg you. I know that on that row of shops, it's your shop that is most patronized. But learn, you should be able to close that shop down and go and wait on God so that you will interact with the rod that bats. Because what you associate with becomes how your life looks like. We say that what you company with determines what accompanies your life. If you sit by a rod that anybody in a room for 2 days waiting on God, spiritually, there's Aaron's rod near you. You are now in an environment that is burdened. By the time you are stepping out, your marriage is burdened. Your ministry is something will bad. By all means, something will bad. It can never be. Can never be. That you spend 2 days with God. And when you come out, your stick is the same as your friend's stick. Then what is the incentive to wait on God? What's the incentive? If I go and spend 4 days with God, 2 days with God, and when I come out, your dry stick is the same as my dry stick, then why did I go to the tabernacle? So God has put Aaron's rod that burdened, that even by being near it, even the anointing for ministry will enter you as a priest. No matter how much accountant you are, if you dare to wait on God twice or thrice, you'll start doing ministry work. Because the rod that bats is not for Phinehas, it's for Aaron. It's not Issachar's rod, it's Aaron's rod. You can never spend time with God and not have the heart of God. And the heart of God is not a money heart, it's soul's heart. Even Jesus said, I will build my church. Jesus is not building banks. Jesus is not building universities. He's not building schools. There's nothing wrong with schools. But where he is, the site where he is a church site. The bowl that contained manna. The rod of Aaron. These are the experiences you get when you wait on God. And the third one, three things in the ark was the tables of the covenant. It's open for you to know that you are in a covenant relationship with God. When you step out, you will know that there's a God backing you. It refreshes your memory of the covenant. It says, be careful thou forget not. You can forget that you are a Christian. That's why we take communion. Communion is not the original reason for communion. It's not healing. It's not revelation. All these things are associations. We've all ministered these things. But the original reason Jesus gave for taking communion, he said, do this in remembrance of me, because you can forget that you are a Christian. As your finger is removing the girl's panties, you can forget that you are a born again Christian. So we eat communion to remind us that there's a Jesus in our lives. The tables of the covenant. There's no commandments or what, the covenant. To remind you that you are married. The same way a married man can behave as if he's not married. A married woman can behave as if she's not married. A lot of wives behave as if they are not married. You're going to bring somebody's son into your house, just feeding him with rice and stew, cocoa and money. Was he not eating when he was in his mother's house? We are not saying don't feed us. Cook for us. But there must be a reason why I came into your life. If it was food, then I tell you, my mother has done a better job than you. Do everything. You even lie down for me to walk on you. Accept the reason why I came into your life. Are we friends? Are we friends? Did I come into your life to come and lie on your lap? Am I your brother? Were you raised by the same mother? That's why I left my house and went to Dodowa to find you. Ayikuma, Area City, AY City. Foolish girl. I said, you can't forget that you are in a covenant. You can't forget. When you see the girl and your erections have come, you can't forgotten that your wife, she's at home. She has worn all-out t-shirt. All-out t-shirt. Then you have met this girl in some lace skirt and some long high heels. You can't forget that you are a married man. Oh, I'm praying for you that you'll never forget that you are in a covenant relationship with God. Not poverty, Jesus. Not satisfaction, Jesus. Not pain, not height, yes. Not death. That's why we go to wait on God, to remind ourselves that we are in a covenant. Mm. We renew our covenants. Stand to your feet.
Oh. Ah. What a night. Oh. Yes. Azali mini bahada bababa. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What a revelation.
Lift your hands.
Thank you, Father, for your word tonight.
And commit yourself.
Thank you, Lord.
La to Bayaba, a life
that will wait with you. Oh, yes.
Wait.
Oh, Kalabado Shapala Baba.
I will wait.
Leika Payabado
Shapala. I will stop.
Yes,
I said, don't let God stop you. You won't like the state. Learn to stop yourself. There is no church that is too important for the pastor of the church to walk away and spend 2 weeks with God and let a chorister preach. In Pentecost, don't honor members become elders when there's a need. How can you think you are a man of God that you can't spend time with God? Man of who?
Masha palato sepe apadi kete pato shataba le pete levedo shepe kata legede do shipete la pada do
ayadaba
mantele pete
ayadaba
masha pala
ayadaba
that will wait on you
ayadaba
le paya balaba
posiata
paya bado
siakaba
le pete yaba
shobrika azana
masha la
azana choristers singers learn to wait on God. Singers, let power enter you. Brothers, ushers, instrumentalists, you can continue playing. I wait on you.
Yes,
you make my life bad. My life will burn. Adiados,
oh yes, Lord.
Lift your right hand and say, Lord. I respect you.
I respect
you. I'll make time for you.
I will make time for you.
I'll spend time with you.
I will spend time with you.
I'll prove to you.
I will prove to you
that I respect you.
That I respect you.
I thank you, Lord.
I thank you
for your great blessing.
For your great blessing.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Those outside can come in.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Clap your hands.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Keep clapping your hands.
Hallelujah. What a way. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your word.
Keep clapping your hands. Don't
thank
stop.
You, Lord, for your revelation. Oh, what a way. What a way. What a way. What a way. Give us the strength, O God, to obey and to do your word. That will wait on you. Kalabados.
I will force you to respect God.
Yes,
I said I will force you to respect God. Clap your hands. You will respect God. God doesn't need you. You need God. Clap your hands. Look in front of you. Look in front of you. I gave you a promise last week. I fulfilled my promise. Keep clapping your hands. Ayatu namahata kaba la baba ramama yanda la baba rekatu namasata baba rekata. Lift your hands, everyone. Lift your hands. Say, Lord, I love you.
Lord, I love
you. I respect you.
I respect you.
I'll sacrifice for you.
I will sacrifice.
I'll make time for you.
I'll make time for you.
I'll be serious.
I'll be serious
in my relationship
with you.
Have mercy on me.
Have mercy on me.
And cause me.
And cause me.
Cause me.
Cause me.
To love you.
To love you.
Cause me.
Cause me.
To have respect for you.
To have respect.
Today.
Today.
I pledge.
I pledge.
A commitment.
A commitment.
To a lifestyle.
A lifestyle.
Of waiting.
Of waiting.
Of I can't hear you. Of waiting.
Of waiting.
Of waiting.
Of waiting.
I'll spend time.
I will spend time.
I will stop.
I will stop.
I will pause.
I will pause.
And have time.
And have time.
For you.
For you.
Because you are my God.
Because you are my God.
I will follow you.
I will follow you.
Properly,
properly,
and in the right way,
and in the right way,
in Jesus' name,
in Jesus' name.
As every head is bowed,
oh yes, Lord,
and every eye is closed, you want to say, Pastor, pray for me.
Oh,
I want to
me.
Be born again. I want to know Jesus
pray for me.
As my Lord and personal Savior. I want to commit my life to Jesus today. I want to walk with Him. Pastor, pray for me. If you are here, you want me to pray for you. Lift your hand wherever you are. Yes, you need Jesus. Yes, lift it and say, Lord Jesus, I need you.
Jesus, I need you.
I'm coming to you, Jesus.
I'm coming to you, Jesus.
You've drawn my heart to you.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Lift your hands if you need Jesus.
You need his help, his strength. Lift your hand if you need Jesus. If your hand is up, come to me in front here. Meet me here. Let me pray for you. Come. God bless you. 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 Clap your hands. God will change your life. God will change your life.
Amen.
God will change your life.
Amen.
God will change your life.
Yes.
Lift your two hands. And let's pray. Say after me, Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
Today.
Today.
I commit myself to you.
I commit myself to you.
I realize.
I am a sinner.
I am a sinner.
I'm so far.
I've had no time for you.
I've lived my life without you.
Far from your influence. Today I return.
I return to you.
I ask you, Lord.
Please receive me.
Please have mercy on me. Please wash my sins. I am dirty. Please wash me.
Make me clean.
Your blood.
The blood of your son Jesus.
Is powerful.
To change my life.
To wash my life.
And make me clean.
I'm born again.
Jesus.
You are my master.
You are my Lord.
You are my Savior.
Heavenly Father.
You are my Father.
I will walk with you.
I will walk with you.
I will love you.
From today.
I turn my back to sin.
Worldly life. I'll follow you.
I'll wait on you.
I'll spend time with you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Apostles, where are you? Yes. Today you are on duty. Come, apostles. You are on duty today. You are all girls and they are all boys. Go and look for your cousins to accompany you to follow them up. Yeah. Make sure that everyone stays. You visit them. With your cousins. If you are a man, go alone. I said, you will visit them. What did I say? Do I look like I'm joking? You pray with them, you have meetings with them, you teach them to have their quiet time. And as you do, you yourself will start becoming correct. Come and stand here. So these are your pastors. They are going to visit you. They are going to help you. And when you, every work you do, you report to Lady Pastor Abla. Is it clear? All right. Please take them away. Go with them this way. Go with them this way. Can I have the communion? Take out your communion. We are going to remind ourselves. Thank you, Bishop. We are going to remind ourselves. He said, do this in remembrance of me. In case you are forgetting that you are married. Yeah. In case you've forgotten that you are somebody's wife. The church is somebody's wife. As you are playing the fool with devils, somebody has married you. He has paid the bride price with blood. People bring panties and beads and cloth. He paid with blood. Lift your bread and say, I'm somebody's wife. I can't hear you. Say, I'm somebody's wife. Say, I'm Jesus's wife. Say, I'm the bride of Christ. As I eat this bread,
as I eat this bread,
I am reminding myself, that I am Jesus's wife.
That I'm Jesus's wife.
I will behave properly.
I will behave properly.
I will not commit adultery.
I will not commit adultery.
I will not chase fantasies.
I will not chase fantasies.
I will commit myself,
I will commit
to
myself
my husband,
to my husband,
who died for me,
who died for
that
me,
I might marry him.
That I might marry him.
Jesus,
Jesus,
you are my Lord.
You are my Lord.
You broke your body.
You broke your body
for me.
For me.
You died on the cross,
you died on the cross
for me.
For me.
As I eat this,
I'm remembering.
I'm reminding myself that this is what you've done.
This is what you've done.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
The body of Christ.
The body of Christ.
I'm a wife.
I'm a wife.
Say, I'm a wife.
I'm a wife
of the body of Christ.
The body of Christ. Eat.
The blood. Day to day, it will never lose its power. The blood of Jesus.
The blood of Jesus.
Let's drink it. Your two hands. Say, Jesus,
Jesus,
have mercy on me.
Have mercy on me.
Let your power flow through
Let
me.
Your power flow.
Let your strength flow through me.
Let your strength flow
today,
through. Today,
I commit myself.
I commit myself.
I commit myself.
I commit myself
to a life,
to a life
of chasing after you,
of chasing after
loving you,
loving you,
serving you,
serving you,
all the days of my life.
All the days of my
in
life.
Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Clap your hands. Let's welcome our pastor, Bishop Kwabena Asamoah.
We trust that you have been mightily blessed and affected by the word of God preached by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Do join one of our lovely services from the Makenere Cathedral near Valley View University, OUB, Accra. This and every weekend at 7:30 p.m. on Saturdays, as well as 7:30 a.m. and 12 noon on Sundays. Connect with Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo on Facebook Live, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.